22 past 8, Michael Felgate not too far away on a racing pulse. It's always good listening after a weekend of racing. But one of the absolute tragedies across the weekend in Australian sport in recent times was the passing of Andrew Symonds in a car crash on the weekend. The world of cricket's taken a few hits to the chops in the last year or so, and this was just another one which has become very, very difficult to comprehend. John Buchanan was the coach of Andrew Symonds at Queensland and Australia at test level and in one day level as well. He knows him inside and out. He's been able to join us this morning on The Breakfast Club. John, we really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Good morning, Daniel. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. How are you going?
Oh, yeah, look, probably better than yesterday when we first heard the news, and really just trying to comprehend it, and was able to meet up with a few former players, mainly Bulls players, yesterday afternoon and evening, and that was probably a good recipe for, you know, walking through Andrew's life and rejoicing in a lot of the things about Andrew, and at the same stage, you know, being very mindful of, you know, he's left this world. So, but today, yeah, obviously, time moves on, and you're trying to do the best you can, as everybody does.
Yeah, I'm sure it's an enormous challenge considering the relationship you would have had with Roy through the journey. I'm sure yesterday there would have been some great stories told, and this is the thing that we were talking about earlier, about the way that he sort of presented from a public perspective post-playing career when he's with his commentary, and the people that work with him say that he was the best guy to hang out with. He's the guy that you want by your side at any time, because once he was with you for life. Is that sort of the theme of the stories yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Look, you know, Roy, in a sense, would be always a little bit, hesitant or quite close to himself till he believed he could trust somebody.
Yep.
And then he called him his mate, and then he was a mate forever for life, you know. And, you know, that when we talk about that, I just always, I mean, I see a whole lot of images of Roy at different stages of his life and his career, but one of the ones that always stands out for me is we went via Gallipoli to England in 2001, and that was Roy's first Australian tour. And there's a photo there where we all had our slouch hats on, and we were in a very privileged position to be taken through Gallipoli by one of the Australian Armed Forces representatives, and also a Turkish official, government official, and we're in a very privileged position, and we're able then to walk through various battlefields, and one of these was in a trench, and then there were various photos taken, and there was Roy, Adam Gilchrist, and Ricky Ponting, all together, and just in front of them was Shane Warne and Wade Seckham, and it's a photo that always encapsulates a lot to me. It's about Roy, his passion for his country, because obviously, you know, at that time he just really said, I'm going to play for Australia. You know, there was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing when he was playing in Gloucestershire and England wanting to play for them because of his heritage. But he said, no, I'm playing for Australia. So, you know, he was a proud young man, putting a slouch hat, envisaging what it was like to be a person of that age in that battle arena. And, you know, again, same sort of thing. Those young men went over full of fun, and were confronted with just horrific circumstances. Not to say that Roy ever fronted horrific circumstances, but he was a young man who enjoyed his cricket and wanted to take that his game onto the arena and entertain people. And, you know, as he got better and better, as he understood his game more and more, and as his technique became a little bit more refined so that, you know, batting-wise, he could stay at the crease longer so he could entertain longer. Or when he was in the field, he just became physically stronger and more athletic and did some special things, you know, and then he could do whatever he wanted to do with the ball. So, yeah, I mean, he just embodied, I think, a free spirit, a person that everybody could know and wanted to have time with, and he would generally always be able to try and find some time for people. And so, yeah, I mean, that's why it's such a loss. You know, it's just real tragedy. And you know, cricket was something that gave Roy purpose. It gave him a structure. It just brought out the best in him. And he brought out the best in everybody else around him. I just always saw him as a... He was a leader without title. He was an important person in our group.
In a way, he was ahead of his time with the way he played his cricket as well, John. But I'm just interested in that whole thing around being such a strong teammate, a loyal teammate, and a very popular teammate, because it was team first. Despite the way he played, often the entertainers, the cavalier-type players, were never necessarily or are never necessarily the big team player. But he was that. He was able to be both.
Yes, and you know, if in his early days, you know, we would, as either coaching staff or his teammates, would kind of shake your head when he'd look at $1 million and then get out, or again, you know, just maybe bowling well and then try something slightly different that just didn't work, and you'd kind of shake your head and wonder what's going on, and Roy himself, I'm sure. Those sort of impulses, he was unsure where they came from, but he would be the first person to, just take responsibility for what he did, because he just kept feeling he's letting the teammates down. Not only letting himself, but letting his team down. So he just kept working, and Matthew Hayden, his great mate, great fishing mate, really helped him in that regard, and that was just about, you know, this thing called muscle memory. So, you know, if Roy wanted to be able to play all the shots that he could play, he needed to be at the wicket longer to be able to do that, you know. So Matthew worked with him to make sure that he just kept hitting ball after ball after ball in the net, so that by the time he got out into the centre, his muscle memory just took over, and it meant that his decision-making, his execution really improved, or at least the consistency improved over time.
John?
Yep. Microphone issue.
He was definitely a bloke's bloke, a man's man, but that also got him into trouble on occasions when he would go and enjoy himself. Within a team sport, there are team standards. You were obviously a great coach to him and a great mentor to him. How did you harness that with him and still get the very best out of him?
He did. He let himself down on a few occasions, certainly when I was around and maybe a little bit later on. And, you know, there was the case in England 2005 where he turned up drunk for our first game. And you know, that was, there was a manager and Ricky Polly and myself late at night after that particular game where we sort of debriefed the team because we'd lost to Bangladesh, and then debriefed them about what had happened the night before. And we found out that, you know, four of them had been out late, and Andrew was there, as he would say. I was there to support two of my mates because one had just broken up with his girlfriend and he was in tears, and the other was having a 21st. So I went out to support them. But then in his own way, he said, his vocab wasn't all the best the best of times. So he said, I got locked in by the Republican. You know, not the public. I got locked in by the Republican. You know, that's why I kind of got home late. But he said, you know, I'll take full consequence for my actions. You know, and at that stage, as I said, we had the chairman selectors from Australia ring us, telling us to send Roy home, put him on the first plane home. And I guess from my point of view, I didn't want him to go. I wasn't happy with his actions, obviously, but I didn't want him to go because he was such an important part of the team and an important part on the field. So I kind of said to the chairman, well, for me, the principle is that no player should be going out late before a game, particularly first game of a tour. So I said, okay, that's a good decision, but we're sending five home because in my book, they're all guilty. It doesn't matter how long they were out. So fortunately, the chairman then backed off that one, and we fined Roy and suspended him for a little bit and then put him on notice. So I think the biggest thing, and you know, another example would be through World Cup times, 2007. You know, we'd play a game, and then he and Matthew would find a boat somewhere or find a couple of rods somewhere and head off fishing. And for me, that was the important part with Roy, that you had to give him his freedom to enable him to come back into the structure. Mm. And I know talking to him a couple of years later, he just kind of made that comment that he was felt like he was a caged lion because he'd just become a victim of his own success, meaning that, you know, this is after, made his 150th in the Boxing Day test, and then he really kept developing his game test and one day is after that. And so Cricket Australia saw him as a wonderful marketing product, his management team did, and he just said, I can't get away. He couldn't get back to the bush. You know, he wanted 4 weeks up in the bush to walk around in shorts and thongs and have a beer and go fishing and sit by the campfire and pig hunt and all those sort of things, you know. So what he always needed, he needed that bit of space and that bit of freedom, and then he could come back and really, forge his skill.
Yeah, and he was a fantastic entertainer, a fantastic part of the cricket community, and he'd be very, very sorely missed. And I would love to ask more questions about how he found to get an L into Chimney when he spelled it with Matty Mott in the game, which I spat my coffee out through my nostrils this morning reading that, John. It was a fantastic story. I'd love to talk to you more about it, but we don't have the time this morning. But we do appreciate your insight and your affection for Andrew Symonds on his passing. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.